there, continuing the rescue effort of the I-35 bridge collapse. It is 7 o'clock now.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
From ABC News, I'm Aaron Katursky, live in Minneapolis at the on-ramp to what was the I-35W bridge.
All I could think of was, God, this was not the way I wanted to die.
Kelly Cayley survived, but at least 7 others were killed when the bridge collapsed without warning in the middle of rush hour.
The cause of the collapse, we don't know right now, and I suspect that we may not know for a very long time.
Right now, the city's Sarah Dietrich says they're trying to account for everybody. 20 people are still thought to be missing, but search crews expect to find nobody alive.
It was terrifying. It was just like something out of the movies. You know, you stand there outside your window, and the bridge is buckling, and the cars are sliding into the water, and then one of the semis exploded.
50 cars are now thought to be submerged in water about 9 feet deep. I can see a school bus that had 60 children inside. It barely made it across. All the kids made it out. Bright sunshine now casts a reddish hue on the wreckage. A piece of the span bends as if bowing to the debris and the concrete and rebar in the river below. ABC's Jim Ryan is with us live here in Minneapolis. Jim?
Aaron, the I-35 span over the Mississippi is a truss bridge built 40 years ago. Construction workers had been fixing the road surface when it collapsed, but it isn't clear that that had anything to do with it. Meanwhile, Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman said,
as I understand it, the governor told me this bridge had been structurally inspected in 2004 without indication of a problem. Yearly inspections after that, more surface reviews. We have to figure out why this happened.
Investigators will study the bridge design and the maintenance record as they search for the cause of this disaster. Aaron.
ABC's Jim Ryan with us live. The authorities plan a news conference in the next few minutes. The governor of Minnesota has already said this morning he believes the death toll here will rise. We're live in Minneapolis. I'm Aaron Katursky, and you're listening to ABC News.
Looking to get more laps from a gallon of gas? Make a pit stop for expert service at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, up to 5 quarts, tire rotation, and much more. Just $36.95 or less. Race in for savings to your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Taxes and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. Offer ends 9907.
Look, it's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum Silver? I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated!
Yeah! I fear change.
Relax, Zinc. Centrum Silver still helps protect the health of people over 50. And now we're better balanced to work together. Like more vitamin C and E to support natural cell repair.
C, E. I love this antioxidant.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
67 degrees in the Twin Cities at 7:03. Good morning, I'm Bob Berglund, AM 1500, KSTP News. The top story in the country this morning, last night's collapse of the 35W bridge over the Mississippi River at Minneapolis. Officials in charge of the recovery operation have scheduled a 7:15 news conference. We will, of course, carry it live. The numbers of dead and injured have remained pretty constant overnight. At least 7 dead. The Star Tribune says 9. 60 injured, some critical. The injured were taken to Hennepin County Medical Center if they were on the south side of the bridge. Those on the other side had to be taken to North Memorial. Still others walked to Fairview University Hospital to seek treatment, and still more were treated by paramedics at the scene. The biggest disparity this morning is how many people are missing. There are vehicles submerged in the water, for sure. Estimates of how many have gone as high as 50 in the water. But at the same time, authorities have said 20 people are missing. Those numbers don't seem to jibe, and it's one more thing the authorities hopefully will rectify in the upcoming news conference. No Twins game today, and the groundbreaking celebration for the Twins' new ballpark has also been put off indefinitely. In recapping some other local news this morning, Northwest Airlines and its pilots union have a tentative deal that should ease the end-of-the-month pilot shortage. It's an overtime and bonus arrangement. And the St. Paul City Council voted overwhelmingly last night to shut down Diva's Overtime Lounge, a troublesome Rice Street bar. Diva's has 2 weeks to appeal. Patrick Hammer's 5 Eyewitness News forecast, mostly sunny and 87 today, sunny and 86 tomorrow. We're looking at some scattered thunderstorms over the weekend. It's 67 degrees right now at AM 1500 KSTP.
Minutes after 7, continuing coverage of the I-35 bridge collapse and the rescue efforts, recovery efforts is what they're calling them now. They don't expect to find anybody alive. ABC reporting that there could be 50 vehicles that were sent into the Mississippi River. We had heard from people that were under the bridge, and I'm thinking there's got to probably be some cars that are pancaked under some of this concrete.
Look like it. And if you know what, if there's only 50 or 60 cars in that river, to me that's still amazing when you consider four lanes of traffic either way. I know some were shut down for construction, but still,
yeah,
you know,
so
that time of day.
Eight total, and they have two in each direction closed. That could have been much worse.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron Katursky, of course, the key guy from ABC that they send out to these, stories that are big like this, because this guy's on the ball, and it gives you the concise information that you're looking for, and we're glad to have him join us this morning. Aaron, have you ever seen anything like this?
Man, well, Willie, I have to tell you, this is, the scene looks like something out of a war zone that I've been to. I mean, really, the destruction is that much, and it compares to something that you might have seen in Hurricane Katrina. I mean, just when you look at it, it just seems unbelievable to look and know that there's supposed to be a span crossing the river at this particular point, and I'm at one of the on-ramps at University Avenue. And then just to see nothing there, and then you look around and all you see are pieces, crumbs, remnants of what was an only 40-year-old bridge.
Obviously covered the San Francisco earthquake. There were bridges that went down there that just came down a kind of pancake. But this, with all the steel and the way it's twisted into this wreckage, is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is some scene here. I have to say, I can still see the school bus where we're told 60 kids thankfully made it out, and I see a tractor trailer, a number of other cars that barely made it across. I can't see the cars that are still submerged, but we're told there are about 50 or so still in the water from what we know at this point. And it is just a scene of destruction and devastation, and from what the eyewitnesses told us, just a harrowing moment when, without warning, this thing collapsed.
Aaron, what's happening right now down there? Are they back in the water? They have cranes in place on barges to start moving some of this stuff. What can you see?
Yeah, I just saw a couple of the sheriff's deputies go by with boats hitched to the back of their truck. So they're getting back into the water to resume what is now strictly a recovery operation. They do not hold out hope of finding anyone else alive. We heard the governor of Minnesota, Governor Pawlenty, already said today that he expects the death toll to rise, so hopefully officials will update us soon. But for now, the focus is going to be on getting everybody accounted for, with an estimated 20 people still thought to be missing. That, we're told, is the focus. And then, of course, investigators start arriving here to determine a cause.
Is it odd to you that they're saying there are 50 cars in the water but only 20 people missing?
Well, we do know that there was quite a rescue operation underway here yesterday after this happened. So, you leave the car and you just get the people. And so perhaps they were able to rescue a number, which is certainly good news.
Now, this rescue effort obviously will go on for some time. This, of course, the most heavily traveled bridge in the state. So as far as traffic goes, a nightmare. But, you know, when you have been around to different stories like this, where does this rank as far as just the way it hits you, the shock that you go through?
Well, sure. I mean, just to know what a moment it must have been like, and to think about all of the people who had no warning at all, who never think twice about crossing this bridge. Thousands of people do it every day, back and forth, going to work, going to the ball game, and just to have it give like that, that's just wrong for only a 40-year-old bridge. And structural integrity, the structural integrity is going to be a key part of what investigators look at.
All right. Aaron, well, thank you for the update this morning. We'll try to get back with you next hour, and you always got good stuff on the scene.
Boy, it's just, you know, when you see guys, he's with Hurricane Katrina, he's seen this stuff out in San Francisco. And
well, he's been into a war zone, too.
Well,
and he said it's nothing, as bad as he has seen.
Yeah, nothing prepares you for that kind of stuff. This is continuing coverage of the I-35 bridge collapse. The latest, there's two different reports. Some say seven people have been confirmed dead. The Star Tribune said nine as of 4 o'clock this morning, and 60 people injured. But I think I saw there were only about six or so of those people critical.
And, of course, there's going to be a news conference coming up at 7:15.
Right. Yep.
We're going to carry that live, and we probably will get an update on those numbers at 7:15.
All right, that's all coming up next. It's 10 after 7 now here on AM 1500 KSTP.
We encourage you to listen as often as you can to Twins games this season on AM 1500. But there are a few places where it might not be acceptable, like at a piano recital.
What kind of play is that?
While at an airport.
Oh, there's a bomb.
Or at a wedding.
Does anyone object to this union?
Everywhere else is okay with us. Listen to Twins baseball all season long here on AM 1500 KSTP.
Did you know that a rose is a rose is a rose is a lie? Yep, Gertrude Stein, huge liar. Now, maybe she didn't know. And maybe you didn't know that a maple tree is not a maple tree is not a maple tree. But the people at Gertens do. And they know exactly where to plant all those trees, shrubs, and perennials. See, not all plants play nice with each other. For instance, you need to keep your oak far away from your summer wine, nine bark, and your Uncle Tipsy. You also need to plant it where it'll get the right amount of water and light. Because after all that work, you don't want to find that your evergreen is never green and your peonies pooped out. So where do you buy your plants? The people at Gertens recommend Gertens, because they pot and prune and pamper everything they sell. Check out their fingernails sometime. Disgusting. But you know where that dirt came from. Probably not the case when you buy a plant from the kid at the hardware superstore. So remember, a rose by any other name may smell as sweet, but make sure you get it from a gardening expert or you might get pricked.
With Gertens' help, you can achieve your dream yard. With so many plants, trees, and landscape supplies to choose from, Gertens landscape designers can create a diverse and unique landscape plan that will bring out the wonder in your landscape. Visit Gertens Design Center today.
For over a decade, Ticket King has been providing Minnesotans with tickets to the most sought-after events in the Twin Cities and nationwide. Whether it's a ticket to a sporting event, concert, or an off-Broadway show, you can count on Ticket King to get you in the door. Be sure to visit the brand new Ticket King location right in the heart of Minneapolis on the corner of Chicago and Washington, just a couple of blocks from the Metrodome. Stop in for your chance to win a $500 gift certificate during Ticket King's grand opening celebration. When others say they're sold out, your local Ticket King office has the tickets you want.
To buy your tickets locally today, call Ticket King toll-free at 1-800-396-7328 and talk to one of their friendly representatives, or visit them securely online 24 hours a day at TicketKingOnline.com. Again, that's a toll-free call at 1-800-396-7328 or online at TicketKingOnline.com. Ticket King, your hometown ticket broker, bringing you sold-out entertainment for over a decade.
Everything you need to know before you get to work. Willie and Jay on AM 1500 KSTP.
7:12 now, and our latest look at the morning commute, which is going to be a nightmare for a long time for a lot of people. Alternates, you have additional roads closed today, Kenny, because of the recovery that's underway. I know a lot of down around that area, it seems to be a lot of stuff closed off.
I can do it all here, Willie. I've got a lot of closures. We'll start with the area right around the scene. West River Parkway between 13th Avenue and 1st Street South. That's closed on the south side of the river, the downtown Minneapolis side of the river. 2nd Street Southeast between 8th Avenue and 11th Avenue. That's closed. You'll notice 10th Avenue, the bridge over the river right next to 35W. That's closed. Authorities are using that as their main vein over the river back and forth, so they're going to need that. And Broadway Street Northeast closed both directions at Highway 280, as is County, I believe it's County B. For some stupid reason, I didn't write it down. Anyway, they're closed at Highway 280. The main reason there being Highway 280 is the new main line. We've closed down the cross streets. We've turned the stoplights on green, And that's a main freeway now. That's how you're going to get into downtown Minneapolis from South 35W. Everybody's kind of slowing down at the Roseville split. But once you get onto Highway 280, we've got tower cam here at Hubbard trained on Highway 280. And it is flowing really nice right now past Como.
So you close the cross street so you don't have to worry about the lights. Is that it?
Right.
No cross traffic and
right.
Just open up 280 and get into town.
280 has always kind of been considered a hybrid four-lane freeway piece of junk. And they turned it into a freeway now, and it's being used properly. It'll take you right down to West 94. So that's the situation there. And now for your drive times, basically the alternate routes are stacked up right now. We'll start with East 94. Of course, it's slow in Maple Grove, Elm Creek Rest Area. But what you need to know, from Broadway down to 35W, East 94, already at 1 hour. So if you can get off East 94 prior to Broadway, you're in business.
Yeah.
West 94, from 61 in St. Paul over to Creighton, that's at 22 minutes. West 694, you're going to take this one from 35W over to I-94, or even South 100, that's 17 minutes from 35W over to the river in Fridley. Another way to go is 694 over to 35E. So the drive time on 35E, 694 to downtown St. Paul, not bad. Might be an option. It's 12 minutes right now.
You know, it's remarkable that actually things seem to be, Kenny, moving pretty dang good considering we just lost a major artery.
I was talking to Kodiak off the air. Hats off to the morning commuters, man. You guys are on the ball. Because Highway 280 should be a parking lot right now, and it looks to me like it's flowing at or above the posted limits. We also have extra buses coming out of the North Metro, 25 extra buses actually in service between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., picking up at park and ride lots, the following locations: Foley Boulevard, Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center, that's in Blaine, 63rd Avenue at Brooklyn Center, Rosedale Shopping Center, and Roseville City Hall. Buses are running extra buses from these park and ride locations, and they will also be available this afternoon, I'm guessing between 3 and 6.
And Metro Transit told us, Bob Gibbons said, if you need, just go to the website. If you have access, metrotransit.org, and you'll find out a lot of information about the extra buses.
You'll find out information on buses. And as we know, we've got a friend of the program who actually takes one of these park and rides in every morning from the eastern suburbs. It's the way to go.
Yeah. He likes it. He says, you know, I can sit there. I listen to you guys on the radio. I don't have to worry about anything. I think a lot of people are going to have to think about adjusting their morning and afternoon commute now, because if it's going to be just absolute gridlock most days, you're much better on the bus. Kenny, in some of these deals with the bus, do they let them go in the fast lane, or how does that work?
They get the HOV lane. They also get the shoulder. And if there are these commuter buses, they usually don't stop. They start at the park and ride. They end in downtown Minneapolis. What we're seeing, Willie, Jay, are the alternates are getting backed up. For instance, East 94, that's a huge drive time. Broadway down to 35W, 1 hour. So you're going to find routes that normally aren't backed up completely whacked. And it's going to be that way for a couple of 2-3 years, the way it looks.
Well, this is continuing coverage of the I-35 bridge collapse. We'll have much more as the morning goes along. We're waiting on a press conference from the police authorities, going to update us on exactly what they know here any moment now. It was supposed to be 7:15, so we just wait till they come out, and we'll bring that to you.
Usually takes a little while for them to get assembled and get it going, but they'll be with us in a few minutes. They'll give us the latest update on, the recovery efforts right now, how many cars they think are actually in the water, how many people might have died, missing people. They should have a better handle on that by the time they get the news conference going.
Something that really, really put it into perspective for me personally, my brother-in-law Earl, an EMT, was on earlier. It wasn't working out with him because of his cell phone, etc. But Earl's the most cynical guy on the planet. Earl has been to scenes of crashes where he's had to cut limbs off in order to get people out of the wreck. Earl said this morning this is the worst thing he's ever seen.
Well, you
and
know,
Earl's a cynical guy.
As I mentioned to Jay off the air, you know, you got a pro like Aaron Katursky. He goes to a lot of these type of stories. He's ABC's go-to guy. They get him there first, and you could tell talking to him that he's it's affecting
he's
him
by it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. He says worse than some war zone scenes that he's been through.
Well, you went down there, Kenny. I mean, what was it like for you?
It was very somber. It was the most twisted scene I've ever seen in my life. Seriously, it was surreal. I've never been to a war zone, so I can't compare it to that. It just reminded me of an earthquake scene. You know, it was just surreal, and all the late nighters were out. I was down there from, I'd say 1:30 to 3 o'clock or so, and it was a somber mood.
Well, again, it's not like just one section of that bridge. When you consider that entire expanse over that river went down,
yeah,
that's a huge chunk of road, man.
Now, this just in, the local medical examiner has adjusted the death toll, lowered 4 people.
Good.
Boy, that's good news.
Yeah, that's
anything good.
Very
that's
good news.
It.
Yeah, so that just came in, and as we will go all day long here, you're going to have developing things popping all day. Bob Davis will be in after us, of course. Mishki and Joe will be here this afternoon with this continuing coverage.
I mean, I have to admit, when I first started seeing images from Channel 5 yesterday from the chopper, my initial thought was dozens of cars, dozens of fatalities.
Right.
458 feet between spans.
Right.
And then some on each side of those spans also went down.
It is 7:20 now here on AM 1500 KSTP.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Honey, I just took all of Billy's art off the fridge.
Yeah?
There's a problem. Come look.
Problem? What could possibly be the... Oh, man.
I know. The fridge is uglier than I remember.
Looking for a good reason to update your appliances? Try a Home Depot gift card up to a $250 value by mail-in rebate when you buy a major appliance. But hurry in. Offer ends soon. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Good through August 5th in U.S. only. Minimum purchase $297. Void or prohibited. See store for details.
And now for the bonus round. If this little piggy went to market, how much milk did it buy?
4 gallons?
Correct. If a tree grows in Brooklyn...
A weed is cut in Staten Island.
Correct. How much gas do you use renting movies from Netflix?
None.
Correct! Netflix! Now there's 2 ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail fast and instantly on your PC in as little as 30 seconds. Netflix! It's that easy. 5 movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for start time and 5 for 5 details.
Hey, if you're in the market for some new siding, you want to make that old homestead look better, add to the value, protect your investment, now's the time to act on a great new product called James Hardy Siding. You can get it at Twin Cities Siding Professionals. This product, James Hardy Siding, is a cement fiber siding, and that's important to know because it's like cement. It's going to last the lifetime of the home. It's durable. You put it up, you don't have to worry about it. It's there forever. And don't be scared by the fact that it's cement. It looks terrific. It's stamped. It's stamped concrete cement fiber, so it looks like natural wood. You put it up, you could swear it's cedar or any other kind of siding that you can imagine that looks like natural wood. And give them a call at Twin City Siding Professionals today because there's a great deal to get in on. 651-255-2844 at 651-255-2844 because there's no monthly payments, no interest for the next 12 months at Twin City Siding Professionals when you purchase James Hardy Siding. That's right, no monthly payments. No interest when you purchase James Hardy Siding at Twin City Siding Professionals. That number again, 651-255-2844. It's James Hardy Siding. You'll get it today at Twin City Siding Professionals.
AM 1500, KSTP.
722. As we await the press conference from police personnel here on the I-35 bridge collapse, but the medical examiner, the very latest, has lowered the death toll to 4. And that's just an incredible number if there are that many vehicles in the water. And we expect certainly more deaths.
It could be the best possible news you could ever have.
Right now, but
people right now.
You would think in the water there's got to be more. 7:23, and Bob McNanny from Channel 5 down out of the skies now on the feet on the ground. You got to see a lot of the wreckage from the air. Is it a different perspective of what you see on camera from the people on the ground, Bob?
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, it's one of those deals where it's hard to grasp the scope of how big a tragedy it is and how much area is affected, even from the air. I mean, but it's pretty clear. You know, with the sun coming up, it basically unveils the extent of this tragedy. It was interesting during the daylight hours yesterday. There was so much chaos and turmoil. People were scurrying about, and then after the immediate rush, it got dark and it was hard to see a lot. Well, you've kind of got the combination going now where there is a calm in the area, you can see, now that the sun is up, a number of cars that are submerged, and it is going to be just a painstaking task to get in there and try to find the people that are still missing, because it is still a very dangerous scene, obviously. The crews have spent all night, the emergency folks have spent all night trying to figure out exactly what they do have on their hands and what's the best approach to go in there and not get somebody else killed looking for essentially remains.
Could you see anything, Bob, from the air? Could you see any car, a number of cars? Could you count the number of cars? Could you see what was going on better this morning?
A little bit, especially those in the water, because, you know, last night we could see the ones on top of the bridge and the school bus and the semis and things like that, but you could see the cars in the water. One of the restrictions, one of the problems last night, it's the nature of the beast, is the weather was bad, they restricted the airspace because they had emergency helicopters coming and going, so we really weren't able to show the cars in the water the way we are right now. Right now, we're down getting fuel, and I'm looking at some video of the firefighters doing what they can last night. That scene's going to play out now all throughout the day. I can probably count four or five cars that I saw this morning that I didn't necessarily see yesterday.
Bob, Kenny mentioned that they've got a barge in place now. Is this something where they'd have a crane on there to pull these vehicles up?
Probably, but it's such a massive structure. It's going to take it's kind of like the Legos where you got to move a bunch of them to get one to move. So we did notice that there were a couple of barges right at the scene, and then a couple of more slightly downriver, kind of down around the St. Thomas area, near the Lake Street Bridge. I don't know if those were staging down there, but you could see there is some equipment moving into the area, and again, that's probably all part of the master plan as to how they're going to attack this thing.
People that we've talked to on scene this morning, Kenny was down there last night, say they've never seen anything like this in their life.
It's pretty bad. I tell you, I've been in this business a long time, and I've seen it. Y'all say you've seen it all, but it is devastating. It reminds me, just because of the structural similarities of Hurricane Katrina, when the bridges were washed out in the Gulf Coast when we were down there, interstate bridges swept from their pilings and cars and boats and things thrown around and tossed about. So in some respects, it reminds me of that. But it's bad. It ranks right up there.
Did you see this morning, Bob, any signs of recovery efforts getting people out or any vehicles being pulled out, or was it pretty quiet?
No, it's still very quiet. Our understanding is that they've got the teams being put into place. Sorry about the noise. Give me 1 second here. They've got the teams mustering, if you will, at the University of Minnesota right now, and they will be able to get in there pretty soon. But frankly, without the plan fully in place and without daylight, there was no sense in putting anybody in the water.
Well, thanks for the update this morning, and maybe we can get a hook up with you again next hour if time permits.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Bob McNaney, Channel 5, up in the air with that view.
It was interesting. He said the same thing Katursky said from ABC News. Hurricane Katrina, because mm-hmm. Bob was down there,
yeah.
And so was Katursky. He says about as equally as bad in terms of the way it looked.
Lots of folks are chiming in this morning in the inbox. What happened to the money we just voted in for roads? How much money was diverted for roads and bridges to the train to nowhere?
Well, good question. I've been saying for quite a while on this show we're about $1 billion behind in our road projects. Well, if nothing points that out better than this, probably, because I'm guessing, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, I bet it comes back to some structural problems with this thing.
Also from the inbox this morning, no more bike trails, no more light rail, no more subsidizing the North-South Ghetto Express until all roads and bridges are safe. Transportation is trucks, cars, and buses. Moving people and goods, not this nonsense the clowns in St. Paul dream up when diddling with themselves. All right, we're going to go to this press conference now with the police authorities.
We'll probably get a better number on that later on. So.
Yeah, you mentioned your sympathies going to the families and the people who are still waiting and don't have answers about their loved ones. How many people are in that situation? How many families are there waiting?
We had at least six families that were at the center. We've got a number of other people that are calling.
and so that we're dealing with those, and we can get you give you a number that we want those calls to go to. I don't have that offhand, but our media people do.
Are we still talking 7 confirmed dead?
You know, I never went to 7, and so at this time I wouldn't even go there. I would say, we'll get that from the coroner's office, and they are on scene now, and obviously that's going to change throughout the day as we're doing this recovery, I would guess. And it's
can you give us some sense of how difficult it is for the divers, what conditions they face?
Sheriff can talk to that since those are his people.
Are there still 20 missing? Is that confirmed at all?
What we are estimating anywhere from 20 to 30 people that could be unaccounted for, but that's an estimate based on a number of vehicles that we're estimating were on the bridge. So there's a lot of estimates.
We're going to break away from this news conference. We obviously caught it near the tail end of it. We're going to take you over to Hennepin County Medical Center, where another news conference is set to begin to update us on the situation with the injured.
Go ahead.
We just asked that you guys step in
front
of the mic.
Doctor, what's the latest as far as fatalities, injuries?
Doug, why don't you give them an update on that?
We had 24 patients taken to Hennepin County Medical Center last night. Of those, we had 6 critical. One of those, unfortunately, passed away. The other 5 critical are still in the hospital and are undergoing diagnostic and therapeutic interventions. We had 10 that are still here in satisfactory condition, and we had 8 patients that were seen, treated, and released home.
What is the death total now?
Total fatality that we have is 1 at Hennepin County Medical Center that was primarily thoracic and blunt trauma forces. I do not have an updated number that is at North Memorial or the other hospitals.
What are the ages of the injuries? The 5 critical, the nature of the injuries also. Can you give us an idea?
The injuries were all pretty much consistent with blunt force trauma. So there were a number of head injuries, a number of chest and abdomen injuries. We had some facial injuries as well. But pretty much consistent with what you would expect from an accident like this.
Can you tell me more about the age group? Are these children? Are these adults?
We had, I believe, 5. 5 children defined under the age of 18, and the rest were adults.
Are these children part of the condition? Are they the ones who are
handcuffed? I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
The children right now are all in stable condition. The critical cases primarily are confined to the adults. And North Memorial took 4 or 5 pediatric patients, and I don't know the status of their medical condition right now.
So news conference live at Hennepin County Medical Center.
And John Hick, who's behind us, was at the scene, as well as another one of our medical directors, Dr. Jeff Ho, and then North Memorial had 1 or 2 medical directors there. This was really a team effort as in any disaster, and it was between all the major trauma centers here in Minneapolis, as well as level 2 trauma centers.
Can we ask Dr. Hick a question?
Sure.
As what you found on the scene, obviously there were various different types of collapse, straight into the water, halfway down. Can you kind of qualify the injuries? Where did most of the serious injuries happen? Was it the span that fell into the water? Was it the one that collapsed on land? Is there any way to...
Most of the critical injuries that we had were on the span that collapsed into the river, and the portion of the span on the north side of the river. Those were mainly the focus of our initial rescue efforts. On the south side of the river, most of the patients had either minor injuries or were able to evacuate themselves from the span. So it was really the span that was in the water and the north side of the collapse where we concentrated our rescue efforts. I want to say that the bystanders and Minneapolis police and Minneapolis Fire did an exceptional job of helping us quickly get people off of the bridge, get out of their vehicles, get off of the span, and seek medical care. We had outstanding cooperation from the patients themselves, understanding that we had some very critical patients to deal with, and not trying to, you know, make sure that they got care first. It was a very selfless environment down there. I think the fact that we had as many injuries as we did, we had 55 patients transported by ambulance. The call came into our dispatch center at 6:07 last night, and all the patients were transported to hospitals within an hour and 53 minutes, which I think speaks to the number of services involved with this, as well as the teamwork on the part of the paramedics and the other emergency medical services and public safety folks that responded.
55 transported to your hospital only, or to all?
No, that's to all hospitals. We received 24 patients here at Hennepin County Medical Center. The rest were distributed to North Memorial and other medical centers.
The first fatality, the person who died, do you know any of the circumstances regarding that? Where, how, what happened?
The person who died here at Hennepin County Medical Center was one of the first patients that was evacuated off the north side of the collapse. He had very, very significant chest and other injuries, you know, consistent with a fall of 64 feet in a vehicle. He was gravely injured at the scene. He was rushed immediately to one of the first ambulances in and was brought to the trauma center as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, that alone was not enough to save his life. Last night, messages went out to all the hospitals via a web-based system that we used, and that asked the hospitals to, you know, tally all of their patients that resulted from this incident and submit basically information about what patients they had. All that information was compiled, was supplied to the Red Cross, is being used by the hospitals today to determine, you know, where patients are and how they're doing. We're really not concerned, honestly, with the specifics of the injuries. Most of the injuries are pretty consistent. They're, you know, orthopedic injuries, they're spinal injuries. Their chest and head injuries. More, it's a matter of figuring out who is where so that the families can be reunited if there's any questions still about where their family members are.
It's live coverage of a Hennepin County Medical Center press conference with some physicians, attending physicians to those injured in the I-35 bridge collapse.
To my knowledge, the patients at our institution are identified. I can't speak for other institutions.
I'm also wondering, clearly as doctors and this hospital, you all train for situations like this, but if you can talk personally, being down at the scene or treating them as they arrive, the emotions that you were feeling.
I'll just speak for on the scene, and then I'll defer to my colleagues to speak for in the hospital. But I arrived initially about 7 minutes after the initial call went out on the south side, where the fire involved the tractor trailer truck and the school bus was right behind. And, you know, I think your initial impression is, would somebody just say cut here? And is this a movie? And, you know, unfortunately, it was not. And we had to really rapidly set up triage and treatment points. But your training just kicks in. And you do what you need to do. And I think very quickly, a lot of organization was brought to a very chaotic situation because we have practiced for things like this. We've done a lot of work on disaster preparedness in the area, and that showed. But personally, honestly, there wasn't a whole lot to think about any feelings last night until about 1 o'clock in the morning. So,
and when did it hit you at 1 o'clock?
I had to watch a little TV last night in order to get to sleep. But, you know, again, this is the kind of thing we see every day, not in this scale and not with the kind of visuals of the structural collapse that we had, but this is the kind of thing that we're trained to deal with.
In terms of total number of fatalities,
the last... Sorry, could I have them comment on the last question, which was how they reacted here at the hospital?
I'll just tell you my situation. I was on in the main part of the emergency department, and we first had to kind of determine what is really going on and what is the extent, because when you call a disaster, you're calling a lot of resources, you're calling all the, not only emergency physicians, but all the nurses, all the surgeons, everyone in, and it's a significant call. And that was the first thing. The hard part was trying to figure out how extensive is this disaster. Number two, when it happened and we got quick reports, and I think we are extraordinarily lucky that we've done this training a lot, and Dr. Hick has been very involved in this. So when we were ready to pull the trigger and call it what we call an orange disaster, it was very smooth. A page went out. We have a system, a very methodical system. At that point, personally for me, it was about doing my job that I'm trained for. This hospital has done an exceptional job. This is what we are, and what we're for is to be ready for this kind of situation. Then that was a matter of actually stepping aside, making sure we had the resources for the critical cases. Dr. Burnett, a number of people came in. We're managing those critical cases, so I'll let him talk about that. Then we had to actually, the part of it is coordinating the response. Are we going to hit capacity? We cleared out 25 ICU beds in a matter of 30 minutes. Boom. We moved all the people out from the emergency department that were not necessarily had to be there, or we moved them to a different area, and we cleared close to 25 rooms immediately on that. And then it was the hard work of managing this. Personally, what you do after that is, one, there is pride, I guess, in working for an institution and working with individuals that do such an extraordinary job. Then you go home. I can only tell you what I did. I kissed my kids, and I kissed my wife, and I said, it was a long day.
Well, first off, there are literally hundreds of people who responded to this event, not only at our institution, but across the entire Twin Cities area. And were it not for each and every one of those individuals, this could be a whole lot worse than it is. And obviously it's bad, but it could have been a lot worse. So from a personal standpoint, as Bill said, this is what we're trained to do. We train a lot, hoping that we never have to use it. And unfortunately, yesterday we did. When you're doing it, you don't stop to think emotionally. You just put your head down and do what needs to be done in the best interests of patients and their families, and just go from there.
So, Ned, of the patients who are able to talk, can you tell us what they're saying? Is there not including them? What's their emotional state?
To be honest, the patients that I was involved in were not in any condition to talk, so I can't speak from the walking wounded, so to speak. I don't know if you talked to anybody.
I can tell you a little bit about just we had, you know, so the way this works is that all the critical patients are shunted, and that's a call that is called at the paramedic level and the medical director level. As they come in, then we have a triage system. We substantiate that we think they need to come in for critical care, or they can go to our less critical area. The people that were in the less critical area that were conscious talking, I mean, they have what you know they have. They were in shock. They were happy to be alive. They were scared. They were worried. They felt sad for all the people they had seen, and the circumstances, as you know better than us, was a difficult one. There were wires. There was a lot of chaos initially, but a very organized response, and they were in shock. They wanted to know where their family members were. They wanted their family members here. We had a number, and I can't tell you how many. We had chaplains immediately available. We had our administrators. We had actually the county board and the Hennepin Health System board members were all aware. So we had a huge response for resources for these people, but they were scared and they were in shock.
Again, this is live coverage of a press conference at the Hennepin County Medical Center. Attending physicians updating us on the conditions of people.
Passersby or people perhaps kayaking in a boat in the river.
Well, John, Dr. Hick can give a much better description. I can only tell you what we knew is we got an assessment of, okay, this person was coming in. We think they fell the extent, the 64 feet. And it wasn't, when you're trained for this, that isn't difficult. The person who had obvious head injury, that's when we'd shunt them to the critical care area. They, the specifics, when you get like this, are less important than the clinical presentation.
In terms of the total number of
I've heard seven, but John,
we're going to have to defer to the recovery operations going on. All we can speak for is what's happened here at HCMC, because the numbers are very conflicting coming from the scene.
You said that you had compiled a master list with all the all the hospitals. Can you give us a composite number, like the numbers you gave us for HCMC? What's the total of those?
Yeah, all I can say is as of last night, we had 79 total victims, of which 55 were transported by emergency medical services. The rest got to hospitals on their own. So a total of 79 victims that actually came to hospitals for care.
How many were admitted in all the hospitals?
As a total across the hospitals, I do not know how many are still inpatient this morning. I don't have that information with me.
Are you out there? Are you surprised at those numbers?
No, I think, you know, when you think about what the scene looked like, the fact that we had 80 people injured in itself is somewhat of a miracle that it's that low. But a lot of the victims we encountered that were on the bridge, fortunately, were on portions of the span that didn't have a very long collapse and didn't drop very far and had quite minor injuries if they were injured at all.
We had 24 patients taken to us, and of those, 8 of those had been treated and released. Liberty to discuss individual cases here.
The 5 that are critical, I mean, I know critical is an accepted term. Would you say that they are life-threatening?
Critical for us means that they have life-threatening injuries, correct.
And you couldn't make any determination at this point whether any or all of them are going to make it?
Each of them are individual cases in patients. And it would be speculation at this point, especially with closed head trauma. You never know until a few days have passed to see the extent of their brain injury and other injuries. So they're critically injured, which for us means life-threatening, and they may make it, and some of them may not.
You've been listening and watching a news conference from Hennepin County Medical Center. Doctors briefing reporters on the situation with the injured that were brought to Hennepin County Medical Center. Just to recap what they said, they say 24 patients were brought to Hennepin County Medical Center. 5 are still in critical condition. 1 patient did die there. We did learn that 5 children under 18 are part of that 24.
This is continuing coverage of the I-35 bridge collapse, 7:46 now on AM 15. KSTP.
Welcome to the Small Business Learning Series, Shipping and Mailing. Let's begin. Mail.
Letters and packages.
Letter carrier.
A person who delivers mail.
Zip code.
And picks up packages.
Zip.
For free, even on Saturdays.
Zip.
And gets them on their way the same day, no matter how many packages you have.
Free package pickup from the U.S. Postal Service. Go to usps.com/smallbiz to request a pickup.
Take the trick out of hiring a contractor you can trust. Go to servicemagic.com and you'll be matched with a screened and verified contractor. Home improvement, repair, and maintenance contractors. 1 inquiry and you can get up to 4 quotes. Servicemagic.com. That's servicemagic.com.
Hi, folks. Mischke here for RF Moeller Jeweler. You've heard me talking about the Ideal Cut Lazard diamond for years now. But what makes these diamonds so special? Why should you choose a Lazard over all the rest? Well, Lazard diamonds have been recognized worldwide for over 90 years for their ability to demonstrate the perfect blend of fire and light. Ideal cutting refers to an actual mathematical formula developed about a century ago by Marcel Tolkowski, a formula that together with a diamond cutter's skill results in what's recognized to be the most beautiful diamond in the world. RF Moeller is the largest seller of the Lazard diamond in the United States. Their staff of registered jewelers, certified gemologist appraisers, is more qualified than any other jeweler in the Twin Cities to show you the difference between a Lazard diamond and the diamonds other jewelers sell. So if you're looking for the ideal diamond, visit RF Moeller, 50th in France and Edina, Ford Parkway in Cleveland and St. Paul, or next to Neiman Marcus at Gabaday Common in downtown Minneapolis.
And let's go live to
Billy Thunderstorm, who's out in the field with the latest developments. How's it looking out there, Billy?
Well, Michelle, I haven't seen anything like this since the cats and dogs incident of 82.
Wow, can you describe it for us?
Thousands and thousands of Toyota keys are dropping from the sky.
And how are people reacting to this unusual phenomenon?
They're excited, to say the least, Michelle. They're outside, and they're doing everything they can to catch the keys. They're using buckets, mugs, purses. There's a guy with a fishing net. Anything they can get their hands on.
Oh, wow. How long can we expect this event to last?
According to Drop a Radar, I expect this will go on all month long and well into Labor Day weekend.
Are there any curfews people should know about?
Well, yes. People everywhere are strongly advised to get to a Toyota dealership during regular business hours.
Thank you, Billy.
You
we'll
got
get
it.
A fishing net out there for you soon. Check back in with you later.
Check out Toyota's Lots on the Lot event. With so many great models to choose from, it's the right time to buy. Visit your local dealer now through September 4th or go to Toyota.com.
At Cub, we've been bringing more to your table since 1968, and this week we're bringing a really juicy deal to the table of Dana Cook in Zimmerman.
Hey, thanks for coming. Welcome to our house.
Dana, this week at Cub, you can get delicious, whole, seeded, or seedless watermelon for only $3.48 each. These are the freshest, sweetest, juiciest watermelons we could get our hands on, and now through Saturday, they're only $3.48.
That's fantastic.
So how many kids do you have, Dana?
We have 9.
That's got to be a lot of groceries.
We go through about 12 gallons of milk a week. We can eat a watermelon in a single sitting.
$3.48 for a whole watermelon. I mean,
the lowest I've seen yet.
Do you ever carve your watermelon into shapes?
They just eat it so fast, it's not worth it.
It's in the shape of gone.
It just gets crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
Sweet, juicy, delicious, whole seeded or seedless watermelon for just $3.48 each. Limit one. Now through Saturday at all Twin Cities Cub stores. And don't forget to save even more on gas. Now you can use up to 3 Cub gas coupons at once and save up to 90 cents a gallon at any Twin Cities holiday store. Offer good now through September 8th. See store for details. Cub, bringing more to your table.
AM 1500, KSTP.
7:50 now, and our latest look at the morning commute, which by some accounts, I guess, isn't that bad. A lot of people got up and headed out early this morning, Kenny, and
yes.
Of course, a lot of alternate routes to be taken. With the addition of the bridge collapse, you have a lot of roads around the area closed.
Yeah, we have gridlock on the alternate routes this morning, and of course, we have closures around the scene. First and foremost, avoid, if at all possible, avoid all freeways into and through downtown Minneapolis. If your final destination is not downtown Minneapolis, don't go anywhere near it. Travel no distance too far to travel to avoid downtown Minneapolis. And if you need to travel north or south through the Twin Cities, i.e. Duluth to Rochester, or back, vice versa, use 35E. Just stay away from 35W. Now, our morning commuters, you're going to find that south, Highway 280, both directions, it's our new main line. South 35W is being diverted right onto Highway 280. Thankfully, all the stoplights have been turned green and Broadway has been closed at Highway 280, as has County B. So you're not going to find that much congestion on Highway 280. Actually, we have Tower Cam trained on it right now, and it's moving rather well. But some of the other alternates are seeing delays. East 94, for instance, Broadway down past 35W. It's about 20 minutes right now. We had an earlier crash that made that ugly for a while, but 20 minutes almost acceptable. West 94, Mounds Boulevard over to Creighton on the Midway. That's 23 minutes. West 694, 35W over to the river in Fridley. About 17 minutes there. And you know what? You can even use South 35E as your alternate. Believe it or not, take 694 over to 35E, southbound over to West 94. Our drive time right now from 694 down to I-94 and South 35E, that's 14 minutes. Inbound 394, not bad, not bad at all. 494 into downtown, 14 minutes there. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the strip here. Westbound 494, backed up Pilot Knob over to 35W, that's 23 minutes. Of course, that has nothing to do with what we're dealing with downtown. This report brought to us by Checker Auto Parts. Check your mail and your newspaper for Checker Auto Parts. Midsummer savings ad with great coupon specials on oil, filters, coolant, shade canopies, tools, and more. Want savings? At Checker, we got it. And yeah, Willie, we do have some closures around the scene. West River Parkway between 13th Avenue South and 1st Street, that's closed. 2nd Street Southeast between 8th Avenue and 11th Avenue, that's closed. The 10th Avenue Bridge over the river,
This one is closed. That's between University and 2nd Street. Authorities using this as their main line back and forth over the river. And as I said earlier, Broadway Street closed both directions at Highway 280.
All right, thank you, Kenny. Patrick Hammer's forecast today is certainly going to help the rescuers, especially the divers that have to go into the water. Mostly sunny this day, 87. It's a lot drier today, too. The dew points are down into the 50s. Clear tonight, 64, and sunny tomorrow, 86. Earlier this morning, we spoke with a gentleman who is a construction safety engineer, and his name is Timothy Galernik. He told us some things about the bridge. We asked his assessment of was it structurally deficient, and this is some of what he had to say.
They're seeing things that caused them to rate the bridge structural members at a rating of 4 out of 9, where 1 is the lowest and 9 is the highest.
Yeah, and that would tell you what if you're at 4.
That would tell me that I better pay attention to what's going on in the structural steel of this bridge. And that was 2 years ago.
He also went on to say that heat causes steel to expand. Obviously, a very hot day yesterday. Also, the fact that the bridge is dark green added to the expansion of it.
Bridges such as this, these long bridges, and of course you have to remember too, this has got a dark green paint on it, so it's going to sit there and expand maybe a little bit more than a bridge that's painted with lighter color paint. But this bridge is going to expand, coupled with the traffic loading, coupled with the construction work that's going on, and coupled with the flaws that could have been apparent in the structural steel, we could find the cause of this thing, and it should not take a long time to find out this cause.
Sometimes municipalities and government agencies take a long time for things to come to light, and, Mr. Galernik had this to say.
I just hope that we don't drag our feet and spend 18 months or 2 years trying to figure this out. In the meantime, other things that could happen on other bridges across the country, and for that matter across the world, are sitting there and suffering.
Well, this is continuing coverage of the I-35 bridge collapse. Willie Clark, Jay Coles, Kenny Olson here in Kodiak. This morning we got news that the medical examiner's office has dropped the death toll so far from 7. Some people had 9. The Star Tribune, they were obviously off base this morning. And it's down at 4 right now, but there's a lot of cars in the river.
And again, when you look at the aerials, if we're at 4, that's good. You hate to say it, but when you look at it, it could be a lot worse than what it is.
A lot of people got rescued from the water. Their car went in, and they got out of the car, and out in the middle of the river, and just almost immediately there were boats down there.
Your initial reaction when you see it is there's going to be dozens dead, dozens critically injured, and right now the numbers are relatively low.
Yeah, and the critical list also is very low compared to the number of people that showed up at the emergency room. It was about 10% of the people all told that went, so... you have to put that in the miracle category because anybody that's seen the footage of this and the people that have been on the scene that we talked to said they've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, Aaron Katursky from ABC News, who's seen a lot. He's been to wars, been to Katrina. Bob McNaney, Channel 5, been to Katrina. Both those guys said this is about as bad as they've ever seen it, which puts it in a pretty high category when you consider their experience.
Yes, without question. Now, still we get reports this morning that there could be as many as 50 vehicles. That's what they say, 50 missing. So some may be under the concrete. We do know people were under that bridge on the ground in cars. One of the people that we heard from earlier this morning said she just passed that section of road when the bridge came down. So there are a lot of people that certainly went home and said their prayers last night. Just seconds some people away from death, and they escaped it.
Well, that's amazing. You see, a couple of the cars literally were hanging either by the road itself or some of the steel beams, or others had actually slid, put on their brakes, and stopped within feet of going over the lip of the bridge where it had fallen out. And so, if you had passed it 2 seconds earlier, you were lucky. If you're sitting in the middle of it, you weren't so lucky.
7:58 now. Kenny's here with our latest look at the morning commute. Real-time traffic is going to be one of those things that a lot of people are going to have to pay attention to for a long time now.
Yeah, no kidding, Willie. And we're seeing delays on the alternate routes, East 94 Broadway down to 35W, 21 minutes, West 94 35E over to Creighton, 20 minutes. I do have to mention the strip, West 494, Pilot Knob over to 35W, seeing 23 minutes. If you're eastbound on the strip, 169 over to France, that's a 10-minute drive. Out west, South 494, Fish Lake Split down to Rockford Road, about 13 minutes there. West 694, this is one of your alternates. You're going to need this to access 94. Not too bad right now. Long Lake Road over to River, 13 minutes. As I said, if you need an alternate, South 35W to 694, West 694 over to 94, and then 94 into Minneapolis. Or you can do the opposite. You can take 694 east over to 35E and then roll down to downtown St. Paul and then over to Minneapolis on West 94. But I've got to say, you folks coming in from the North Metro, I'm impressed. The only delays we're seeing right now on South 35W are at the Roseville split at Highway 280. Even Highway 280 itself is moving pretty good. We do have a number of park and ride lots available and open with extra buses in the North Metro. We will get to them sometime next hour. The sooner the better. I'll try to get them on before a quarter after. That is your AM 1500 real-time traffic.
All right. Thank you, Kenny. We have a forecast at least is going to be helpful to the rescuers today. With a lot of sunshine, folks having to go down in that dark water, that's certainly going to be beneficial. 87, no rain on tap at all. So last night there were some storms in the area, and they had to cut back some of the rescue efforts. But looks like it's pretty good today. Clear tonight, 64, 86 tomorrow with sun. Next chance of rain is late Friday night into Saturday. Right now, we hit 8 o'clock here on AM 1500.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
From ABC News, I'm Aaron Katursky. We're live near the wreckage of the I-35W bridge in Minneapolis. A search and recovery operation resumes right now.
We're dealing with the Mississippi River. We're dealing with currents, and we're going to have to do it.